everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all of the dirty details.
This week, we'll be talking about Lucy Score's book, Riley Thorne and the Dead Guy Next Door.
But first, instead of highs and lows this week, we're going to do a question that kind of goes with our book.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Mine would be teleportation. I've thought long and hard about this.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Come on. You can travel anywhere you want.
Yeah.
You could be at work in a second.
Yeah, that's the dream.
That's the dream.
Get to work faster.
I just mean more time to sleep.
I get that.
You know? So that would be mine. What's yours?
Mine, when you first asked me this, I told you I'd want to be a fly on the wall.
And I was like, ew.
You were like, you want to be a house fly? And I was like, I guess I want to be invisible. It was like the real answer.
So you could just sneak in.
I would like to sneak in places, maybe listen in here and there, mm-hmm. pick up some hot goss.
Ooh, yeah.
So invisibility is what I'm going with.
Okay.
So this week we're talking about Riley Thorne and the Dead Guy Next Door, and it's by Lucy Score, and this one has a 4.62 on Goodreads. Mm-hmm. And we have read one other book by Lucy Score. It's called By a Thread.
That was a really good book.
We both really loved that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say these two books are so different.
Very different.
Which is actually kind of cool that an author can write something, I don't know, one's like way more smutty and right. one's kind of more witty and more of a comedy, which yeah. is what this one is.
This book was very witty.
Yeah, it was yeah. so cute.
So a quick summary of this book is that Riley Thorne comes from a long line of psychics, but has refused to tap into her gift until she has a vision of her neighbor across the hall being murdered. When the vision comes true, she finds herself alongside haughty private investigator Nick Santiago as they try to solve the case. Riley and Nick find themselves in some sticky situations and maybe a few sexy ones as they hunt down a killer.
Ooh.
Ooh, let's get into it.
So we start with a prologue, and it's 2 weeks into the future, and it jumps right into an action scene.
Mm-hmm.
So she's driving a stolen car. She's got a bunch of people in the car. They're all talking at the same time. There's cops and there's, you know, shots being fired mm-hmm. and you don't really know what's happening.
Yeah. And then just to throw this in there as well, she also talks to her boobs and no one understands why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's kind of the flash forward that we get.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the main part of the book, which is now 2 weeks ahead of that prologue. We have Riley, who is self-described as a broke, divorced, 34-year-old proofreader.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes from a long line of talents in her family. She had a pretty bad divorce, mm-hmm. and it kind of like sucked her dry of money. And so she's had to move into this old mansion that belongs to these elderly twins. She lives with just this gaggle of old people who are just super funny.
Yeah, it just basically sounds like a retirement home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she lives in this old mansion and she shares a bathroom with her neighbor across the hall, Dickie Frick. And he's just like a grumpy old man. He's always leaving his underwear in the bathroom and he's just super grumpy. One morning she's on her way to work and she stops at, you know, a local coffee shop. And when she sees the barista, she just like knows that her lymph nodes are swollen.
The barista's grandmother is yelling it to her.
Yeah. And so at this point, we don't really know the extent of Riley's gifts that mm-hmm. she has, but she either just knows stuff or dead people tell her these things.
Right.
Or she just hears internal thoughts.
Mm-hmm. She has no way of controlling it. So it's just constant
yeah.
just chaos in her head.
Like she also in line hears a woman who's thinking about that she should get her bikini line waxed before her day. Like she's just like always an influx of information.
Right.
Either way, she does make herself tell this barista, Ida wants you to get your lymph nodes checked.
Right.
And
then she just like bolts for the door, though.
She's like, Ida? My grandma? My dead grandma? And she's like, yep, get those checked. And then just heads out. So she gets to work and starts her morning routine, which basically includes her just cyber stalking her ex-husband and his new girlfriend. So
because this was a very brutal divorce, in my opinion.
It
like,
was.
He used her pretty bad.
So her ex-husband's name is Griffin Gentry.
Horrible name. Uh-huh.
So he's Channel 50's most popular morning news anchor.
Mm-hmm. Channel 50. He's not even prime time. Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like they dated for 2 years and they were married for 1 year until she noticed some red flags. And by red flags, I mean he was sleeping with a weather girl, Bella Goodshine.
With some weather balloons.
She's got some big old knockers. That was your subtle way of saying that. When she's scrolling through her morning stalk session, she sees that her ex-husband Griffin and Bella Goodshine got engaged.
Mm-hmm. With the ring he gave her.
That is low.
Yeah.
So her best friend Jasmine calls her to be like, how you doing? So we meet Jasmine, and she's basically just like the coolest person ever. Right. She's naturally beautiful and smart, and just she's like everything. And she's also super protective of people she loves.
Right.
Even when Riley was getting her divorce, she was forced to pay damages to her ex-husband. Jasmine just calmly left the courthouse and rammed her car into the side of Griffin's car. And then she just claimed to a cop there was a bee, and they just let her go. Yeah. So Jasmine calls her to check in, and she's like, girl, you're in a rut. You need to slap on some concealer, and we're going to get you and those.
Pop those girls out.
Yeah, she's like, get those boobies ready, and we're hitting the town. So that night, Riley's at home, and she hears a knock across the hall on Dickie Frick's door. Mm-hmm. And she looks at the peephole just to see who it is, and it's a tall hottie. And so she opens the door, and when she locks eyes with this tall hottie, she has a vision. And the vision is basically of him dragging her underwear down and her screaming his name. And she can't even focus on real life anymore because of this vision. But she does get kind of a cop vibe or just an official vibe from him. She asks him what he's doing there, and he goes, oh, I'm looking for a Jorge Alvarez. And she's like, first of all, like to herself, like nobody of that name lives here. She knows everybody.
Right. And the names are on the side of the door.
Yeah. And when she asks why, he says it's because he's selling Nature Girl Chunky Monkey chocolate bars or something. Mm-hmm. And they have kind of a funny exchange, and he ends up telling her that he is not, in fact, selling Nature Girl's bars, but to just not tell Dickie that he stopped by.
But I like the way she describes Nick in this part of the book, because before she even sees his face, she goes, top of his head held the promise of a full face hotness. And I was like, okay, I like that. And then she described him as tall, broad shoulders, muscled chest, bronze skin, short dark hair, thick brows, full lips. Like, it was a very detailed description of him.
I like
and
all of those things.
Dimples.
Dimples. The dimples are a big one. We meet Nick Santiago. Mm-hmm. And so... Oh,
like, already attracted to him.
I know. That's all it takes. So Nick ends up leaving, and then we kind of meet Nick from his point of view. And so that day, him and his cousin Brian and his cousin Brian's wife, Josie, all run Santiago Investigations. Mm-hmm. The three of them have been friends since high school, and they all do different parts of this PI firm. Mm-hmm.
But I like how they describe Josie. She's like this little Asian girl, and she's just like, gonna cut you, you know?
Yeah,
like,
she's tough.
She's really intense. Yeah,
she's tough. Yeah, and he walks into work and sees Josie just like
straddling him.
Straddling Brian. And they're like making out. Yeah. It's so funny to me. Now, from Riley's point of view, she's going to see her parents that day. And her dad is recently retired from a warehouse manager position, but he now runs the local trivia night, and he also has a pet cow. And then her mom, of course, performs psychic reading. So her family is just like a bunch of nut jobs. Yeah. And I like it. I also like that whenever Riley and her sister, who we'll meet in a second, her name is Wander, mm-hmm. whenever they go to their parents' house, they have to announce their arrival just in the off chance her parents are like having sex in an open room.
Right.
So they're like, hey, it's me, your daughter, here.
Are you decent?
Yeah, she has to ask that. It's so funny to me. So Riley shows up to see her parents. They're kind of chatting. And then her sister Wander shows up with her three kids. Her three kids' names are Rain, River, and Janet. I thought it was so funny. So while she's at her parents' house, her sister and her mom are both kind of practicing psychics. They both do readings, or they both channel a gift.
Right. And they're both at least accepting of their
talents. They accept their gift. Yeah. Riley's the one who does not accept this gift that she has. And they're always getting onto her about suppressing her gift.
Right. And she just wants to be normal.
She just wants to be normal. And she's the only one who has not embraced it. Mm-hmm. But when she gets home that night, she sees Dickie Frick, her neighbor, because they share a bathroom. So she sees him walking across the hall naked, and then she gets a vision. And this is a vision of Dickie being shot in his room.
Ooh.
This sends her down a whole mental spiral. She ends up throwing up, and she just keeps telling herself it's not real. Dickie's in his room.
Right, but I like Dickie. So the reason is because he says things like, they all want a piece of the Dickster.
Everybody hates him, though.
Everyone hates him. Everybody hates Dickie. Like, man whitey tidies just on the floor. He just walks around naked, you know?
Yeah. So, nobody likes him.
No one likes him. A lot of people want him dead.
When she has this vision, she's scared and confused. And then she also remembers that guy, Nick. And she's like, is Nick involved in this?
Right.
Because she was suspicious of him whenever he came by. But she ultimately just ends up giving up on her thoughts and just going to sleep for the night. The next day, Nick is parked outside of their building, just doing some casual surveilling. And he sees Riley unloading her groceries when all of a sudden she stops and just looks directly at him across the street.
Right, because he thinks he's being good at hiding.
But she's psychic. Right. So she knows things.
So she's like, whoop.
Yeah, she just eyes right to him. He tries to
and
duck.
He's like, oh, shit.
He tries to duck, but like, she's on you. So Riley marches right over to his car and is just like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then he flashes his investigator badge. And he's just like, get in the car. She's very skeptical of him. So she takes a picture of him and his badge and sends it to her sister with a description of the car just in case he's like a murderer, which is really fun.
Very smart, yeah.
Yeah. And he tells her he's looking for Dickie. He also is just like, I'm Nick Santiago. I'm devilishly handsome. I was like, humble.
But I feel like he's like funny about it.
He is. Yeah. He's super funny. While she's in his car, she sees like a stack of papers on his dash. So she grabs them and just starts to like rifle through them. He eventually is just like, fine, like I'm here to serve Dickie some papers because he's being sued for trademark infringement. Mm-hmm. And then we learn that Dickie owns a bar called Nature Girls, and he dresses up the girls in like slutty versions of basically Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts, yeah.
And just uses the same name as the Nature Girl bars, mm-hmm. which is clear infringement.
Pretty blatant.
Yeah. Since she realizes that he's just here to serve papers to Dickie, she's like, well, he's probably not going to kill him over some papers.
Right.
So it calms her fears that she had had from her vision.
When she sees these visions, she doesn't know when it's going to happen.
And she doesn't even know if it's real or not.
Right. At this point, yeah. She's been suppressing it for so long. She just is like, well, maybe it's just a dream. I don't know. But
yeah.
I think it is just that, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And so I think a part of her always knows that this could be a potential future.
Yeah.
So she's been up like every night, just like listening and trying to
make
sure.
She's worried about it.
Yeah.
Nick tells Riley, like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and wait for Dickie to come home so I can serve him.
Right.
And Riley's like, well, you're out of luck because Dickie doesn't come home until 10 on Tuesdays, which is 3 hours from now. And so he kind of just invites himself up
to like,
her
okay,
place.
Let's go to your room.
And he's just like, picks up all of like her groceries she was carrying and takes them up the stairs. And she realizes that my ex-husband like never carried anything for me. And she even says, like, even over our threshold when we were married, he didn't carry me because his hands were too precious. And I'm like,
he's an anchor.
You're not a surgeon.
Right.
Like, what? But Nick carries her things up the stairs. They kind of rib back and forth. Mm-hmm. Little flirty flirt. And she just keeps checking him out. Going, hot tush. And then after some more flirty flirt, Nick heads out. But then a few hours later, I don't think she was expecting him to come back. But a few hours later, Nick shows up with a pizza that night. He catches her by surprise when she's coming out of the bathroom in just a towel.
Oh, yeah.
And she's so caught off guard, she lets the towel slip and it falls to her waist. And he turns like a gentleman after catching a peek.
Slowly, yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, he did catch a peek. And he was like, that was fun. But she gets resituated, mm-hmm. and he convinces her with pizza and ice cream to let him come in and hang out until Dickie comes home. So they're just kind of hanging out for a little bit. They have a fun rapport. He's super flirty.
Very flirty.
And she gives him a hard time back, and he likes it. He asks her how she ended up in this mansion full of old people. And she kind of just...
She's pretty transparent about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she just quickly tells him about her bum marriage, and she has to somehow pay alimony to the husband who cheated on her. And then he also mentions, like, well, I'm not the marriage type, so, like, I don't know.
I don't understand your problems.
Right. But it's now 11 o'clock, and again, Dick usually comes home around 10. Mm-hmm. So now Riley's kind of worried about him because she did have that vision of him dying, so right. She's always worried about him now. And then she tells Nick that she just has a feeling that Dickie might not be okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, that's called a gut feeling. And she's like,
no, it's a little more than that. I feel like this would be hard if you were a psychic. Like, if you had genuine perceptions of the future, how do you explain that? Especially murder. You just look like a suspect immediately.
I know. And so then she's like, do you want me to call you if he comes back? And he's like, if?
Yeah.
What a weird choice of words. He's like, do you have a reason to believe why he wouldn't come home? And she's like, yeah, but not a good one.
Right.
And he's just like, don't worry about it. And he heads out, mostly because his internal thoughts are like, I'm going to pounce on her.
Yes.
If I stay longer.
He's trying to
create some distance. Mm-hmm. The next morning, she's at work doing her typical cyber stalking morning routine when she sees something on the news. And it's the barista from the coffee shop talking to a reporter about how a mystery woman came in and told her that her dead grandma wants her to get her thyroid checked. And she did.
And she has thyroid cancer.
I know, but they caught it early, and it's treatable. She'll be fine. But this really freaks Riley out because she's never before had confirmation that her visions or whatever she has are true. Her mom calls. I think her mom also has like some spidey senses to whenever Riley's feeling uneasy. And Riley asks her mom if her visions are direct visions and if she can actually see into the future. Mm-hmm. And if she can she change? Like, she just has so many questions now. And her mom tells her that typically a vision isn't, you know, a literal vision into the future, like a Raven Simone situation. Yeah. It's more of like a clue or it represents something. And then she's like, only really powerful clairvoyants can see true visions. And mm-hmm. she's like, I'm not really sure about the whole change of the future thing.
Right.
But her mom's like, you could call your grandmother and see. And she's like, nope. Apparently the grandma's just a lot to handle. So mm-hmm. she's like, no, I'll be fine. Thanks. As it goes on, Riley is still again feeling guilty about her vision of Dickie. She's still worried about him. Mm-hmm. And so she drives herself to the police station. She recalls the vision to try to get some more details. And this time she is focused on it and she sees some black shoes mm-hmm. with some red lightning bolts on them. Mm-hmm. But then ultimately does see Dickie get shot again. So she forces herself to go inside the police station. She tells an officer that she's like, hey, I think my neighbor Dickie Frick is gonna get murdered.
Why would you think that?
And the cop is like writing in his notepad just like, crazy.
Crazy lady.
Yeah. Like, what would you say? And so, yeah, the cop is clearly thinking one of two things. Either she is crazy and needs to be put on like psychiatric hold.
Or she's the killer.
Or she's the killer. And I think she realizes how suspicious this now looks and she just bolts out of there.
Yeah.
Which is still suspicious.
Right.
When she gets home, she just can't stop worrying about him. So she decides to write him a note. And the note is very funny to me.
She does a couple drafts because everyone sounds ridiculous.
But she's like, Dickie, someone might be coming to murder you, and I think you might know them. If you know what I'm talking about, go to the police and don't answer your door. From a concerned citizen.
And she watches him crumble it up.
Yeah, a few hours later, she's leaving the communal bathroom and just sees him holding the note and crumples it and tosses it over his shoulder. And she's mm-hmm. like, fine, I am not worrying about your
life. Your death is on you.
Yeah, that's on you. I did what I could. And then that night, she wakes and she hears a knock on the door and she thinks it's across the hall at Dickie's door. Mm-hmm. And she starts to panic because she's like, oh, this might be the vision. And it is. She mm-hmm. hears two loud bangs. Pop, and pop.
That's my sound effect.
It's like you were there.
Pop, pop.
And she's like, no. And she opens her door. And I guess just like in a flash moment, she decides to run. And I guess in this flash moment, she decides to just run full speed at the object in front of her mm-hmm. and knocks them down the stairs.
Right.
And she thinks it's the killer, so she lunges at him. They fall down the stairs together.
Uh-huh.
He lands on top of her, and it's Nick.
It's only
Nick.
The
lights come on, and it's Nick. And he's like,
what? Oh, Nicky Blue Eyes.
Nicky Blue. And Nick says he was in the parking lot when he heard the shots
mm-hmm.
and was running up the stairs when at the same time she threw herself at him thinking he was the killer.
And he found this kind of admirable. Secretly, because he was like, this woman tried to come after a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, just on her
He's
own.
He's like, she's a psycho, but I like it.
Right. Everyone likes a little crazy.
And then as she starts to settle down a little bit, she's like, my body is in so much pain. She's laying there and some like blood runs into her eyes and she's like, oh my God, am I decapitated? And he's like, you got a scratch on your face. Like, you're gonna be fine. But then as he picks her up, he realizes that he thinks her shoulder is dislocated.
Yeah.
And so he carries her up the stairs, puts her in the room, mm-hmm. tells her to lock the doors, and he's gonna go check on Dickie. Again, shots were fired, so we gotta refocus. And her response, like in her hazy, is just like, I like your dimples a lot.
He's like, focus, Thorn.
He's like, focus. The shock is just making her loopy, which is pretty funny. And then we learn Dickie Frick is, in fact, dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the police show up, and they're confused why Nick is there, because he used to be on the police force. The officers know him, and he knows the officers. They're like, what are you doing here, Nick?
Right.
And then some of the older women who live there are just like, oh, he's our girl Riley's boyfriend.
Right.
And he's just like, ugh. And then he's trying to explain, like, he kicked the door in, and then the women are shouting things like, because how eager he was for all the sex he was going to get. Like, they're just crazy.
I love these old women.
I know, they're so crazy.
I hope I can be just like these women.
But we also pick up that Nick and the main detective on the case, Detective Weber, mm-hmm. have some bad blood between them.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly don't get along. But Nick leads Riley back to her room to wait for some questioning by the police, and then she can go to the hospital. So Detective Weber comes in and is like, so we did a little research, and we know that you went to the police station yesterday to give a tip about Dickie Frick about to be killed.
And also, is this your handwriting? Like, yeah. On the note?
He's like, how did you know something was going to happen? She can tell Nick is just like, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. But she also knows that if she doesn't, she looks very suspicious.
She's suspect number one.
Yeah. While Detective Weber is questioning her, she's just kind of like, sometimes I know things. Mm-hmm. And then she starts to get this voice in her head about mm-hmm. a tie clip. Whenever Detective Weber is like half mocking her, like, what are you, a psychic? Mm-hmm. She's like,
she has to prove it. And this is the only way she can do it.
She's like, that tie clip your dad gave you is lost between your washer and dryer.
Right.
And his face just goes white. He's just stone still. And then Nick is like, well, I'm going to take her to the hospital, and just kind of gets her out of here. So when they're in the car, Nick is driving her. He's like, so did you want to talk about the whole psychic thing? And she's like, did you want to talk about why you and Detective Weber
hate each other.
And he's like, no. And so he just drops it. They get to the hospital. He tells the receptionist that, you know, he's her fiance because he knows.
I feel like a lot of people know Nick because the receptionist knew Nick.
At the hospital?
Yes.
Yeah. He's very popular.
Very popular.
It's the dimples.
It's those dimples.
So he's like, oh, that's my fiance, because he knows he has to be family to get back there with her. Mm-hmm. She gets all checked out. She's looking beat up. She's like bruised, arm in a sling, not her best. And of course, on her way out of the hospital, Nick is like wheeling her out in a wheelchair. And of course, ex-husband Griffin shows up with the news crew trying to get an exclusive.
Yeah, but the way he spends it, he makes it sound like she is the one that shot Dickie.
Yes. On camera, he's like, Riley Thorne, can you tell us about why you shot your neighbor? And Nick steps up and really defends Riley here. Mm-hmm. On camera, he's telling Griffin to back off, telling him his cologne is burning his nose and he smells like cat piss. And he's telling the camera about how Griffin can't keep his tiny penis in his pants. And right. Griffin's like, oh, okay, thanks for your time. And like cuts it off. So now Nick is just wheeling Riley to the car. Mm-hmm. And Griffin catches back up to them without his camera crew. And it's just like, come on, Riley, give me the exclusive here. Help me out. And she's like, I'm sorry.
Right.
Help you out? You cheated on me. You sued me. You cash my check every month. Get out of my face.
Griffin's a garbage person.
He's horrible. And again, Nick steps up for her in an awesome way and calls him short and just like, get lost. He also confesses to Griffin that they're engaged. Nick drops her off at home after the whole hospital thing. And Riley's kind of like, well, I'll never see him again. The crazy ex-husband in combination with
I'm a psychic
is enough to, you know,
push most men away.
Yeah, that'll mm-hmm. do it.
Do you think you could date somebody that could read your mind?
How hot are they?
Let's say they're like super hot. They're Nick Santiago hot, but he can read your
thoughts.
That's
a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet.
Could you?
I don't
know. It's a long pause.
I don't know. Remember the description. He's pretty hot.
He is pretty hot. Maybe yeah, I could.
Maybe. Maybe I could not. Just like white noise my brain, you know?
You'd have to train your brain. So Detective Weber swings by again and tries to get some more answers, but she's so exhausted at this point that mm-hmm. he eventually just leaves and she gets in bed. And when she wakes up, there's just this studly black guy standing over her, Gabe. And she obviously panics because there's a stranger in her room, but he's so kind. He's mm-hmm. like a robot.
It's like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells her, a very hot teddy bear. He's like, I'm here to be your guide. And she just kicks him out. But then when she goes downstairs for some food, she sees Gabe cooking up some yummy grilled cheese sandwiches. Right.
All the elderly folk have embraced him.
Oh, they all love him. And I love him too because right. I love a grilled cheese. So I'm all in on Gabe already. I'm already sold. Her neighbors also tell her that Gabe is moving in with them.
Right.
And she's like, isn't that a joint decision? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we like him. And
get on board.
Yeah. And she's like, we can't just let a stranger move in here. Like, we just had someone get murdered. Like, what if he's a murderer?
But I feel like any discussion with these people, they're just like, okay, whatever. Like, you're the young kid in
this
the building.
Old guy Fred is like, don't worry. I have an excellent judge of character. And I noticed that Fred once changed Ted Bundy's tire at a grocery store parking lot.
I love that.
I know. Gabe eventually tells her that he's here to help guide her and her gift. And mm-hmm. he was sent here by her grandmother.
Her grandmother.
And she's like, oh, shit. Can't go against grandmother. The next day, Nick is at work and someone walks in for a consultation. And it's his former teacher who terrified him in school. And
right. Mrs. Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. He's just seeking her approval. And she tells him that she wants his help figuring out what happened to her nephew. Mm-hmm. Turns out her nephew was Dickie Frick.
Right. He takes this as an opportunity because now he gets to see Riley a lot more.
He's like, yeah, win-win. I can impress my former teacher and also hang out with Riley a bunch. Mm-hmm. Riley is at work that same day. Guess who shows up with flowers? Charming Nick.
Oh, Nicky.
And mm-hmm. the receptionist at her job is just like essentially drooling over Nick and his dimples. And Riley is like, what are you doing here? But also like, ooh la la. And like pulls him into a conference room. And Nick sits down and kind of pulls her in between his legs and makes her an offer. He says, if you will continue to be my fake fiance so I can investigate this case, I'll pay you.
And she's so hard up for cash right now.
She's motivated by money.
Because she's got none.
And so he brings her forehead to his, and she's basically suffocating in his pheromones. And in order to gain some control back, she steps away and it's like, I'll think about it.
Right.
And he gives her just like a solid wink. Mm-hmm. And is like, come by my office
it
later
today.
It sounds
like the dinkle.
The dinkles. The dimples.
It sounds like the dimples paired with a wink would just like melt her panties.
Oh, done. Yeah. And so like as she's recovering from this, she's like, oh, Riley, there's another hot guy here to see you. And it's Gabe. Mm-hmm. She agrees to go to lunch with Gabe just to like get out of the office for a second. So at lunch, Gabe tells her again that, you know, your grandmother sent me here to help you learn how to control your powers. And she's just like, I just want to be normal. And she's like, can you help me block all this stuff out? Right. And he's like, if you can control it, you can block it out. She's like, okay, I'm in for this. So after work, Riley heads over to Nick's office like he asked her to. And she meets, you know, his cousin and his cousin's wife. And then Nick leads her back into his private office. And he grabs them both a bottle of water. He suggests that they have a sleepover so he can look at Dickie's apartment when no one's around. Yeah, but she's like so like caught off guard by this. She fumbles with her open water bottle and like...
And lands right in his crotch.
A stream of water lands directly into his crotch. Mm-hmm. And so of course she like jumps up, panics, and tries to like dab it dry.
Yeah, I was like, stop patting his dick.
She's doing some patting and he's like, Riley, stop. And she stops and sees like his giant erection in his pants. And she's like, oh, okay, whoops, done. But she does agree to the sleepover and to continue to be his fake fiance. Mm-hmm. And he suggests that they go to dinner to celebrate. But on the way to dinner, he has to make a few stops to serve some people.
Because that's like the boring part of his job.
Yeah. In the car on the way, he does ask about the whole psychic thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have to ask.
Well, yeah.
I would want some more information.
I want a friend that's a psychic.
Yeah. We almost went to try to get our tarot cards read.
We called to find ours, and she never called us back. And we took that as a sign.
We did take it as a sign. But we did want to do that.
I thought it would just be fun. I know. Yeah.
He is asking her a little bit about it, but he's pretty cool about it. Mm-hmm. Like, he just is honestly curious and wants to know. Not like he's trying to get, like, lottery ticket numbers from her or anything. And she just explains how she can't control it and that sometimes it comes like a dream or a vision or whispers. He's just kind of interested and just kind of listens to her. And then they stop for dinner. And then on the way back, they have a little flirty banter. Mm-hmm. And when she gets out of the car, he's like, what number am I thinking of?
Because she gets that question a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he asks her what number he's thinking of. And she goes, 69. But I didn't need to be a psychic to know that. I thought that was really good because that was his number. So the next day, Riley goes to yoga at her sister's studio, and her friend Jasmine's there, and her parents are there, and Gabe is also there.
It's like a family affair.
I know. And then after yoga, Riley reluctantly agrees to work with Gabe a little bit right then, mostly because her mom is forcing her to do it. Mm-hmm. And so they're all sitting in a circle, and Gabe is like handing out like crystals and candles, and he tells her to focus on the flame and to like open herself up. Mm-hmm. And she starts to hear tons of voices, and she can't concentrate. It's too much for her to do. He tells her to focus in, and she asks the spirits what they want her to see or know. She flashes into that same vision she had earlier of her and Nick having some steamy sex. And she immediately pulls herself out of it because she's like next to her mom and she feels weird about it. But her mom is like, what happened? What happened? What'd you see? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh,
I just saw lasagna.
Yeah, I just saw some dinner in the oven. No big deal. But then Gabe says like to her family, Riley is really powerful.
Right.
And she accessed like a different realm. It's just like she can see more than the traditional clairvoyance.
Right. She almost has a more of a literal vision versus just like a metaphor.
She is Raven Simone.
All right. Yeah.
So that night is sleepover time. And Nick is even a little nervous about this. He like buys himself some new pajama pants and everything. And when he walks in, he sees for the first time this giant, delicious black man and is like, who the hell is this? And Gabe's just like, I'm here to be with Riley. And he's insanely jealous. So
well, he
jealous.
Says, like, I'm her trainer, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, training for what?
Yeah, he's so jealous. Mm-hmm. The second he sees Riley, he just goes and, like, gives her this passionate kiss.
He, like,
kiss.
Slams her against the wall. And he's like,
yeah, it's like, we get it. Launches pee all over her, like, message received. Gabe explains that he's her new spiritual advisor.
Right. And Gabe also knows that they're not really together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They all know everything. And mm-hmm. so she takes the guys into the main area where all the resident old people are hanging because they do these weekly Friday happy hours. And these people are hilarious. I love these guys. One of them mentions that in ancient times, people used to stand outside the hut and chant while a couple would consummate their relationship.
They asked Riley if that's what yeah. she wanted them to
she
do.
She was like, do you want us to stand outside your room while you and Nick have sex and chant? She was like, no.
Hard pass.
I'm good. While they're there, Nick is trying to casually ask questions about Dickie Frick. And he does end up learning that Dickie was running a little gambling ring out of his bar. And he's like, that's interesting. But then eventually they go upstairs. And she's fairly tipsy. She had a couple cocktails at this happy hour. And she basically can only think about getting Nick naked. But they're on the couch a little bit later eating pasta. And she's like, what do you think we would be doing if we were dating for real and not just fake dating? And he's mm-hmm. like, get your shoes. And so Nick takes Riley up this windy road and gets out of the car and takes her past this no trespassing sign. And she's mm-hmm. a rule follower. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of hesitant about this little adventure. But then he shows her like a beautiful view of a sunset. Mm-hmm. And they have this moment where they're looking at each other. And he's like, you should know I'm going to kiss you right now. And she's like, but no one's here for the show. Like, who are we doing this for?
He's like, us.
He's like, this one's for us. And they have this super passionate smoochie. Mm-hmm. And he breaks apart and he's like, I know you're used to being good, but sometimes it's fun being bad. And she's like, I want to be bad. She's like, sign me up. They get back to her place and she changes into some pajamas, which are basically just like a tiny tank top and tiny shorts.
Right.
And he's just like, ugh.
He's like, two can play this game.
Yeah. And he goes and puts his pajama pants on mm-hmm. and comes out shirtless and just like slowly puts a shirt on. And
he's like, what?
And she's just like drooling.
I like how transparent she is. Like, you can just immediately tell that she's just, like, drooling over
this
guy.
Yeah, her jaw is just, like, on the floor. She's just, like, dimples, abs. Later that night, when the house is pretty quiet, Nick decides it's time to do some Snoopy snooping mm-hmm. in Dickie Frick's room. And he's about to go over, and Riley's like, I want to come. And he tells her to go put on some gloves, and she comes back in elbow-length yellow kitchen gloves. They're snooping around when they hear someone outside and come into the building. And they rush out of the room, and he puts her in a corner, gun drawn, and she's like scared but like also turned
on.
She's
so turned on
because she's like pressed against his body and she's like, ooh. When they realize it's just, you know, Mrs. Penny and Oldie coming home, they mm-hmm. relax a little bit and he finally says something that kind of breaks the silence mm-hmm. and it makes her knees buckle a little bit.
She gets startled, yeah.
And she falls and tries to grab for something, but she grabs his pants and takes his pants all the way down with her.
So she's like at face level with his penis.
And it's just staring at her. And she's like in awe.
But this penis is fully erect.
Oh, it's looking at her too. But then he just like calmly helps her back up, pulls mm-hmm. his pants back on. And he's like, you know, we got a good thing going here. Let's mm-hmm. not complicate things. And she's like, what?
She's like, I thought you just said you wanted to have a little fun.
Yeah.
He said it on the roof or whatever they were.
Yeah. But no, he's like, we shouldn't do this. Yeah. And she's like, oh.
But then he like playfully smacks her ass.
But then they just go to sleep.
And I'm like, come on.
I know.
You can't mess with her like that.
And so the next morning, Gabe convinces her to go for a jog and something about how like physical exercise releases the mind. They finally find a place in a park and they're chatting about her gift. And Gabe is like bending down and stretching. And women everywhere in the park are just like ogling him and right. like panting at the sight.
These mothers like just strolling their kids and they're just like fanning themselves with a burp rag.
Yeah. I mean, they're just like all in awe of him. She's just like, this does nothing for me.
Yeah. She said it doesn't matter how hot Gabe is. She just doesn't feel anything.
No, but Nick... She said that when he winked at her across some hash browns this morning, it was a rainforest in her panties.
That was such a good line.
I know. Gabe sits her down in the park and they practice controlling, you know, her gift. Mm-hmm. So at first she again hears a ton of chatter, but then he tells her, you know, you can filter out stuff that doesn't matter. And so she asks the spirit guides to filter the crap out. Because she no longer wants to hear thoughts from strangers. And I guess that does it. It kind of clears her mm-hmm. mind. And then she asks the spirit guides if they know who killed Dickie. So a floating orb kind of comes into her view. But then the vision changes. And now it's a computer screen. And it's playing a video of her ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And she starts to get some tingles. But she can't put her finger on it. And then the picture changed. She saw herself in a slutty nature girl's outfit. And then the bubble popped and she's back to reality.
Right. And she still can't put two and two together as far as why Griffin would show up in
her
brain.
Yeah, she still just thinks she can't control anything.
Like, he would never get his hands dirty.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, foreshadow. So Nick texts her and asks if she wants to get lunch with him today. Mm-hmm. And she shows up to his office, but brings Gabe along. And he is immediately annoyed whenever he sees Gabe. He calls Gabe like a giant Sasquatch. She has the best nicknames for Gabe. But then Riley tells Nick she's got a great idea for him to get some eyes and ears in the Nature Girl bar. She's their newest server.
And he like freaks out.
He's like, absolutely not.
Right.
There is no way I'm letting you that dirty place with gross men trying to get their hands on you.
And she's like, letting me.
Yeah, she's like, you're not my real boyfriend. You can't tell me what to do. He had this internal thought that I was like, oh, men. He was like, life would be so much easier if a guy could just tell a woman what to do and she would do it. I was like, Nick.
But I feel like men probably secretly have that thought every once in a while.
1,000%. But still.
Right.
But eventually he gives in because she does tell him, like, you know what? We could have this fight, but I had a vision of myself in the outfit, so...
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. He's just like, fine. Riley goes to her first shift. Gabe also got a job as the bouncer to kind of be a protector and keep an eye on her. And this place is super gross, but she's on a mission. So she does see one of the girls, one of the waitresses, acting kind of nervous, and it's her name is Betsy. And she keeps going into the back office and coming back out, and she's just like visibly a little bit off. And then she notices a guy in the corner with a baseball hat pulled down low who kind of looks out of place because he's the only one who's not like... grungy and gross.
Right.
And he just looks kind of suspicious. And then she sees Betsy and this guy have a little exchange. And then as she's just walking around doing her shift, some guy grabs her, just like puts a hand out for a little feely. And she just smacks him with the tray in the face.
Yeah, she smacks his face with the tray,
And this turns into an all-out bar brawl, which I think the people at this bar are just waiting for a fight.
Yeah, because they were like, oh yeah, this happens all the time.
Yeah. And so...
But they're like, but also you're fired.
Yeah. So whenever the bar fight is happening, Gabe, as the new bouncer, jumps into action.
Right.
And all the women, waitresses, are just like, oh my God.
Who's that? And she's like, oh, that's my boyfriend.
And she's like, how did you get him?
And she's like, I'm just really amazing in bed.
It's like, great answer. And they're like, okay, good for you. So the next day when Riley gets off work from her real job, Nick is outside waiting for her. And he tells her that he would like her to come to a coffee meeting with an officer who's working the case to try to get some information out of them. And they meet with this officer, but don't really get that much out of them. But then Detective Weber shows up and we find out that he's been following Riley for the past week.
But Riley, she sees that.
She does see it. Nick did not know that.
Right.
And Nick is furious because, again, Weber and Nick do not get along.
Right.
So they get in this loud, booming fight in this tiny coffee shop.
Yeah.
And as they're fighting, Riley just peeps up with, who's Beth? And all three of them freeze. They're really caught off guard. And so Weber just ends up leaving. The officer leaves. That was it. So that night, Riley's at home and she sees her neighbor, Mrs. Penny, coming by her room. And she's like, oh, back in a jiffy. Mm-hmm. And Riley's like, you lost your license. So where
really
are
late.
You going?
Right. And she's like, I need a ride.
Yeah. So since Mrs. Penny was caught because she was going to drive herself, Riley offers to drive her where she's going. Mrs. Penny just like gives her directions into the city and tells her to pull over by this curb, and then she pulls on a ski mask and is like, I'll be right back. And Riley's like, what is happening? And Riley gets out of the car and is like, Mrs. Penny, like, what is going on here?
Right, because Mrs. Penny's like 80 years old.
I know.
You know?
But then she sees other people dressed in black with these weird masks on come out of, like, the bushes. And one of them talking to Mrs. Penny is just like, hey, Stabby McGee, who's this with you? Stabby McGee? Like, Mrs. Penny goes by Stabby McGee. And Riley pulls her aside and is like, are you doing something illegal? And she's like, it's a quick gig. Don't worry about it. And so Stabby McGee and the gang go up the road and Riley follows them just like, what is happening?
Right.
And then all of a sudden she hears breaking glass, dogs barking. And before she knows it, she's like being trampled by dogs. When old Stabby McGee comes back out, bystanders are clapping. And it turns out they were breaking up a puppy mill that some guy was going to turn into a dog fighting ring.
Right. But they hear sirens, so they know the police are coming. So they don't have time to jump back in the Jeep.
No. So Mrs. Penny, Stabby McGee, just starts running up the road. And Riley has to go and like run up.
I just picture this old lady like in a muumuu with a ski mask.
And there's also this younger kid wearing an Elsa Frozen mask.
Right.
And they're just like running up the street to get away from the cops. And then Riley calls Nick and is like, hey, could you pick me and Stabby up? And then Mrs. Penny in the car tells them what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess they've been feeding the police information for a while now, and they never do anything. And then they no longer trust the tip line because it's supposed to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. But they've had a few people who have
wound up dead
right after giving an anonymous tip. Mm-hmm. And so they think something fishy is going on with the police department, and they don't trust them. Mm-hmm. So they just, like, in the night, vigilante style, go and, like, solve crimes.
But I do wonder how all of them met, you know?
I know. Oh, and also in the car, there's a dog that Riley brought along with them.
Bert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bert. She brought Bert along because Bert trampled her and kind of felt her up on accident. Right. So she's like, I guess you're mine now.
But Bert must be huge because they keep calling him a lion.
They call him a lion. I guess he's, yeah, massive. They grab some tacos on the way home. The new dog, Bert, takes over the couch when they get home. So Nick manages to weasel himself into bed with Riley that night, but promises to be good. And he is. And then when she wakes up to Nick super snuggling her, mm-hmm. she feels him poking her in the back, mm-hmm. and she's like, I'm awake.
He's erect a lot.
She is. He's, yeah. She also realizes that he's naked, and he tells her he's a night stripper.
That made me laugh.
Which is so funny. But then he rolls her onto her back, and he gets on top of her, and she is just like...
Well, at first she's like, wait a minute, I thought you didn't want to do anything.
And he's just like, now I do. And so he starts, like, rocking against her, like, mm-hmm. he's ready, she's ready. And then all of a sudden, there's, like, this big, slobbery sneeze next to them, and Bert is there.
Right.
Ruins the moment. Nick takes the dog out, and it's over. And then Riley has to go to work that day.
I'm going
to
just tell you, I was super bummed about that part.
Yeah, you wanted some sweet lovin'.
Because I was like, oh, here it comes. I kept saying that out loud.
Really?
By myself. I was like, here it comes.
And it, nope.
And then the dog, and I was like, God.
Nothing came.
Nothing came. Literally.
Literally. So Riley has to go to work, so Nick offers to keep Bert for the day. But while she's at work, she's bored as usual, and so she decides to attempt some psychic stuff mm-hmm. for the first time on her own without Gabe. And when she gets to her, like, cloudy vision space, she asks the spirit guides, who's Beth? And it shows a vision of a young woman hugging Nick, and Detective Weber's there, and he's saying, I thought I told you to keep your hands off her. And then she comes back to reality.
Right.
So at the same time, a cop friend of Nick's calls Nick and asks if he wants to get a drink with her. This is where we meet Katie Shapiro. Mm. And Katie tells Nick that Weber has been suspended for some questionable behavior and that she has been put on Dickie Frick's case now. They kind of agree under the table to swap some info back and forth. Mm-hmm. But there's also kind of an air of competitiveness between them. So now Riley is at home practicing with Gabe again. Mm-hmm. They're mid-practice when she gets some spidey senses mm-hmm. and looks at her peephole and sees the same guy that she saw at Nature Girls with a hat pulled down low talking to mm-hmm. Betsy outside Dickie Frick's door. And he kicks in the door. He's rifling around in his room, but he comes out with nothing. And she calls Nick. Nick comes right over, but mm-hmm. that guy's gone now. Her mom calls as well because she also gets a spidey sense that Riley could be in trouble. And eventually just guilts Riley into bringing Nick and Gabe over for dinner the next night.
Right, because her mom's a little upset with her because she's heard that they're engaged. And she's like, oh, you just don't tell your mom that you're engaged anymore?
Yeah, and she's like, I've also heard he has a great ass. Mm-hmm. So bring him by.
So I need to see that ass.
Yeah, she's like, bring him by. And so she's like, fine. So dinner at her parents' is as eventful as you can imagine when mm-hmm. there's a dad whose new hobby is a cow mm-hmm. and a meddling psychic mom mm-hmm. and a clairvoyant sister.
Right.
And Gabe and right. Nick. So after eating the horrible meal her mother prepared, her mom offers to give Nick a tarot card reading. Mm-hmm. His reading went really, really bad.
Really bad. Like the worst kind of tarot card reading you could have.
The card was death. You're yeah. going to die soon.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that's a bummer, but...
Like, he handled it way better than I would have.
If somebody flipped over a card that said you were going to die tomorrow...
I'd be like, when? Where? Yeah. How?
Yeah. He handles it great. And as he's getting this reading, Riley is watching the news in the other room and calls Nick in mm-hmm. because on the news it says state legislator Rob Bowers was killed in a one-car accident. And that's the guy she saw mm-hmm. kicking in Dickie Frick's door mm-hmm. the day before.
Ooh, the plot thickens.
Nick and Riley go to this junkyard that Nick's buddy Beefcake owns. to look at the wrecked car and try to get some clues. Mm-hmm. So Riley is searching through the car and she finds this fake fingernail that she recognizes
from the bar,
from the waitress.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Betsy. So she convinces Nick that she should go back into work at Nature Girls to try and get some more info. And so she finds out upon walking in Nature Girls that Betsy was a no-show today. Mm-hmm. She does end up working the shift because she was fired, but because Betsy didn't come in, they need the extra help. So Riley goes in and works a shift. And as she's getting ready to leave, mm-hmm. she's passing by a room kind of tucked near the back offices and bathroom. And she gets a feeling that the answers she wants are behind this door in front of her. Before she can even do anything, the door opens and it's a short, bald guy. And she immediately knows he's the guy who killed Dickie Frick. And she even makes herself look down at his shoes and, of course, black with the red lightning bolt. And so she panics and just turns around and goes into the restroom behind her. And so when she comes out, the bald guy is standing there and introduces himself. And his name is Dunn. And he does seem slightly suspicious of her, but mm-hmm. she acts cool. And then Josie, Nick's other PI partner, comes in and is just like kind of like rescues her in a way. It's just like, hey, we're leaving. Come on, girlfriend. And they just get out of there.
Josie pretended to be her girlfriend.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
She comes in all cool and like leather and is just like, hey.
I'd be like, yep, that's my girlfriend. Yeah.
Exactly. And so when she gets back to the surveillance van, Nick is like red hot mad. Mm-hmm. He's clearly lost his mind in the last 10 minutes because he felt so out of control in that he couldn't protect her from danger.
Because he wanted her just to go in there, do one thing and get out.
But she was like,
oh, I'm going to work. I'm going to go snoop. I'm going to do all that. Yeah.
And she met the murderer.
Right.
It's dangerous.
She was hoping that he would be excited about that. Like,
yeah, she was proud of herself.
Him. And he was like, whoa.
Yeah. And he just kind of yells at her and tells her that like she's off the team. You can't work with us anymore.
Overreacting.
And Riley is like, hey, I'm not the one who needs protecting.
Right.
Remember those tarot cards?
I'm a psychic. But yeah, you're gonna die.
Yeah, you're also gonna die pretty soon. And so she just jumps out of the van and walks away. Mm-hmm. And Josie looks at Nick and is like, dude, like she's not Beth. You gotta let it go.
And if anything, she's only helped him this whole time.
Yeah, she's super helpful. Mm-hmm. Again, she's a psychic. You could use her. Uh-huh. But Gabe picks Riley up. She tells him, you know what? Like, we're going to beat Nick to the punch. Like, we're going to solve this case without him.
I feel like Gabe is just on board with anything.
Yeah, he's like okay, what do you need? When they get home, they try to do the whole psychic thing where she channels the spirits to guide her to the murderer guy, Dunn. She can't stay on him for long enough in her vision because her thoughts keep taking her back to her cheating ex-husband, Griffin. And she snaps out of it, sweating, exhausted, and walks out of Gabe's room and walks straight into Nick. And Nick, like, mumbles an apology and is like, I'm sorry, we need you. We need your help. Because he was like, his partner was like, how are we going to find a guy? We don't know what he looks like or anything about
him. Riley's the only one that saw him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, I'm sorry, will you help us again?
He's like, you make a lot of sense.
I know. She does go with him. She accepts his apology and goes back to the office to work with Nick and his gang. Mm-hmm. Riley basically psychic calls his full name into her head, and it's Duncan Gulliver. So they look him up and they see that he's the communications director for Mayor Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
And
pieces coming together.
Mm. And they're piecing together that Duncan is probably like the hitman for the mayor, which
he's a henchman.
Yeah. And they're also now guessing that Mayor Fleming is the silent partner at Nature Girls. Mm-hmm. So the gang decides they need to track down Betsy for some answers because they've now pieced together, right, that she was in the car when that Rob Bowers guy.
And they assume that she actually got out because the passenger door was open.
Yeah.
So she like rolled her ass out of that car.
Yeah. So they're driving around, not really getting lucky with finding Betsy. Mm-hmm. And so Riley again calls to the spirits.
So convenient, man.
I know.
I would love that.
The spirits point her to the house where she's at.
Yeah.
They're like, Betsy, we gotta have a chat, girl. Yeah. And so while Josie, Riley, and Gabe are interrogating Betsy, basically, Nick is at the bar so he can talk to the mayor. So Nick spots Mayor Fleming talking with two men. One of those is old Duncan. And while Nick is introducing himself to the table, another man joins the table, and it's Griffin. And Griffin is such an idiot. He's like, hey, Nick, you're engaged to my ex-wife, Riley, the one who saw the murder of Dickie Frick.
Right? He just like lays all the details out.
all the pieces on the table.
And then Dunn's like, interesting name.
I know.
Riley.
In front of the guy who killed Dickie Frick. And it's just like, a loose end I have to tie up.
Right.
Nick gets out of there, pages Brian. Like, we got to find the girls because Duncan is now onto them. And at the same time, again, Josie, Riley, and Gabe now have Betsy in the car with them. They kind of get Betsy to spill a lot of information. And Betsy tells them that there's some sort of blackmail scheme going on. So every couple weeks, Duncan would come into Nature Girls, give Dickie some information and instructions, and Dickie would apply the pressure on whoever was the target and then collect the cash. And part of that was that they had asked, and they were like, well, what does Dickie have on Rob Bowers? Mm-hmm. And Betsy says something about some campaign finance fraud, and then also that he's having an affair with Betsy, and he's a married man. And then she also says the day that Dickie died, she overheard Dickie and Dunn fighting in the bar, something about how the boss thought Dickie was skimming cash off the top of the blackmail scheme. So their plan is now to go back to the bar and try to sneak into the office to see if they can find the blackmail information. So their plan is like, okay, we're going to go in, Josie, Betsy, and Gabe, we're going to cause a distraction, and then Riley's going to slip into the office. Mm-hmm. And she does. And she's in the office looking around trying to find, she gets the tingles about this baseboard, and she pries it open and finds like a bunch of documents.
She was like, if I was a man with no neck, where would I hide something?
Yeah, they describe Duncan as a guy whose head just goes straight to his shoulders. And she, like, in part of those documents she finds is pictures of Rob Bowers kissing Betsy. And so she grabs papers, puts them in her purse, and when she opens the office door, she sees old Baldy Duncan standing there with a gun in his hand. And she quickly just, like, skirts, like, throws the keys of the office.
I love this. She throws it at his face.
At his face, and he's like, whoa, whoa. And then she just, like, skirts around him and runs out.
If you could see how this was, like, playing out in my head, it would be hilarious.
I know. It'd be a great movie. So she runs into the main area of the bar and she's like, gun. And again, this is like a really hole in the wall bar. Mm-hmm. People hear a gun, they take their own out. And now Duncan comes out with his gun and there's like a shooting fest going down at this bar. It's crazy. As like shots are being fired, they all drop to the ground and just like crawl out of the bar towards the van. So now we've got like a whole game. We've got Josie, the PI, we've got Betsy, a waitress, Gabe, sexy black man, Riley, and now two more waitresses all crawling out of the bar towards the van. They realize the van has been shot at, so they can't get inside of it. And so they steal a red truck in the parking lot. And as they're leaving the parking lot, an angry Duncan comes out and starts shooting at them. So Riley runs into him, but he's okay. He's pops back up.
Oh yeah, she hits him with a car.
She hits him with a car. Mm-hmm. He's limping a little, but he's up, and
he's like the Terminator. He's like,
yeah, he's like angrier now. They drive away, and also Riley does crash into Duncan's car on the way out, just for good measure.
Right, smart girl, very
so
smart girl.
He can't chase them, so they're driving along, high speed chase, and now there's cops behind them, and the cops kind of go in front of the car, stop, like this is Fast and Furious, and they get out, have their guns ready, and they're like, oh, are these good cops or bad cops? And Riley's like, clearly bad cops, and they start shooting at them.
Right.
So Riley just rams right into them, and then just...
It's not looking so good for Riley right now.
No.
I feel like she would go to jail.
1,000%.
Right.
Yeah. And so she
not
gets
today.
Not today, because she gets back home. Nick is there waiting for her. Riley's like ordering the elderly folk to like pack up a bag. We need to leave.
Yeah.
Of course, these old people are like, can I bring the frozen lasagnas? And she's like, no. And one tries to load up her mattress on the car. We're like, we're not. It's an overnight bag.
Right.
One bag.
And then she tells one of them, hey, can you go pack Gabe a bag? And then she hollers back over to Riley. I packed him some thongs and some tanning oil. Like, could you pack some clothes?
I know. And so while they're all kind of running around, Nick checks the batteries of a camera he installed in the hallway. And Riley's like, wait a second.
Right.
She recalls a moment when Dickie was still alive that Dickie saw her doing something in the hallway when he was in his room.
Right, because she put her ear to his door.
Yeah.
And the only way he would have known that is if he could see it.
Yeah.
So that made them think, maybe he has a camera.
Yeah, so Nick quickly searches and finds a camera, takes it off the wall, puts it in his bag, and they get out of there. The old people go in one van. Nick, Riley, and the dog Bert get in another car. Now they have like a quiet drive and they have some confessions.
Right.
So Nick finally confesses about Beth, and we learn that Beth was Detective Weber's sister. Beth was a witness to a crime, and Weber had wanted her to testify. And
because he's always by the book.
Yeah, and Nick was like, we don't need her to testify. And then they got into a fight, Weber and Nick. And by the time they got themselves straight, Beth was missing, and they couldn't find her, and her case went cold. They never found her. After he confesses this, they're almost to the place where they're going to stay. They're staying at this commune. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And this is a place where, like, Riley's extended family lives. I think it's, like, her mom's sister or aunt or somebody.
So the whole family is this way.
They have, like, they have a big commune of people, and they have open rooms. Mm-hmm. As they're getting all situated, Nick is going through the camera footage from Dickie's apartment that he took, and he sees clear as day that Duncan murdered Dickie. And he shares it with Riley, and they're like, poof. Like, we finally have some evidence.
Right.
So Nick and Riley are shown to their room, and they realize they're going to have to share a room tonight because all the rest of the rooms are full. They walk in, and she sees the room from her vision from the first time she saw Nick. And when she realizes, like, oh, this is the sex that I saw, she just launches herself
shuts the door and just, like, jumps on him.
And they finally...
I was like, oh, finally some sex.
They bang it out. Woo, we made it. And at the same time, he's kind of thinking now, like, you know, I could do the whole relationship thing.
Right.
And she wakes up, kind of, or she falls into a vision in the middle of the night, and she sees Nick get shot. And so this startles her, fully awake. She's in a panic. Mm-hmm. And around the same time, she gets a phone call, and it's Jasmine. And Jasmine is like, hey, and she sounds worried. And then Mayor Fleming comes on the phone, and he tells Riley, like, I've got your friend, and I want you to meet me at the museum to trade the documents you have of
on
me for your friend. And this time Nick is now also awake, and he's like, don't do anything, I'll take care of it.
Right.
When he leaves the room, she knows
she
that, like
calls ass.
Well, and she knows, like, you know, I could tell him he's going to get shot today, but he'll do it anyways.
Right, because he's just a hero.
That's the type of person that he is. When he leaves, I think he calls back Jasmine's phone and, like, changes the location. Because she tells herself, like, he can't get shot if I rescue her first.
Right.
And it's all over. And so she changes the location to a stadium. So she arrives, and out comes Mayor Fleming, along with Duncan, who's holding on to Jasmine.
I love how Jasmine has handled this, all of this, though. She just kind of rips them continuously during the kidnapping.
Good.
Yeah, she just handles it really well.
She's mostly upset that she has day-old eyelashes on, and she's, like,
she's
irritated.
She's like, I would love to take my makeup off.
Yeah, she's like, it's been on all night. Fleming tells her, like, hand over the documents, and then I'm going to have my buddy Duncan here kill you both. So Riley kind of improvises and is like, well, I didn't bring them with me because I thought this might happen. And she's like, I hid them somewhere only I know, but somebody else is going to find them soon enough. Mm-hmm. So if you kill us, you can't get to them before somebody else finds them.
He's like, what a pickle.
He's like, what am I going to do with that? At this time, the spirit guides start to help her and give her some information.
Right.
And so she keeps improvising and tells Fleming, you know, we're not your only loose ends here. If you kill us, there's still more out there. And she's like, your boy Duncan here told his girlfriend, and
Debbie.
The spirits give her the name Debbie. And Fleming,
he was like, you told your stripper girlfriend?
Yeah. And he's
and
like,
he was like, she's only a stripper part-time.
Yeah. She only dances a few days a week. But this, like, sparks the doubt, and the two of them start to argue. Mm-hmm. And then Jasmine and Riley have this girl code winky thing.
Yeah, three winks. Time to go.
And they start to run. I'm pretty sure Mayor Fleming just, like, shoots Duncan, I guess because he's irritated with him. And he goes chasing after Riley. And so Riley's, like, running for a while. She sees a bike, hops on that.
A bicycle. Not a motorcycle.
No. And Mayor Fleming is just chasing her in a van. And Riley gets all the way to the Capitol, and she starts running up all the stairs. And now she's like, why am I so out of shape?
Right. But she doesn't realize that the cut that she thinks she has is actually a gunshot wound.
Yeah, he shot her.
Right. So she's now bleeding profusely.
But she's exhausted as well because she's been running and biking for a long time. She's running up the stairs, and Fleming is now on foot behind her, chasing her. Mm-hmm. And she runs through the building, goes into a room, jumps out the window, and continues to run.
Right. And the whole time, Fleming is, like, telling everybody around, she's got a gun, she's got a gun. And she's like, I have no gun. Like, she puts her hands up
but
in the air.
But she's just like Tom Cruise, right? Like, she is just, like, out of windows, running, jumping, like, bullet holes. Like, she is just, like, killing it. And so
she's a regular old John Wick.
Yeah. So she runs towards a fountain, and then all of a sudden, cops show up, and Fleming's out there too. They have kind of a little exchange.
Officer Billings catches Riley, right? Yeah. And it's just like, hey, it's not me. I'm not the one that has the gun. It's Mayor Fleming. He
but
has it.
But then Fleming comes right up around the corner and shoots Billings.
Right. And she's like, oh, you were telling the truth.
You and your why that expression when he just told me that, like, you have been shot.
And so she like falls in Riley's arms and she's like, my gun, get the gun.
Get the gun. So now Riley does have a gun.
Right.
But Fleming has a gun.
Right.
The cops come. They all have guns. And at the same time, the whole gaggle of old people, the vigilante crew with the masks on, show up. And they say they have, like, the previous thing on Facebook Live.
Right.
Back so at the stadium.
That's the reason Riley had been talking to her boobs, because she was doing a Facebook live stream of this whole fiasco.
Yeah.
And so the world has now seen what has really happened.
Nick then also comes. That's like a whole production. So then Nick comes running up to her. Uh-huh. It's just like chaos now. Right. And Nick gets shot in the butt and he goes down. And I think Fleming shot him.
I think so. The vigilante crew, didn't they run over Shapiro?
We also learn that Detective Weber is not a bad guy. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. But that Shapiro, Katie Shapiro, who took the case from Detective Weber,
is in cahoots with Fleming.
Yes. And there's a whole little ring of dirty cops, and Shapiro's the main dirty cop. Mm-hmm. So the vigilante crew run her over. She gets two broken legs, but well deserved, in my opinion. At the same time, so I think the cops now have Fleming in cuffs, right? Mm-hmm. But then, like a zombie, like, here comes Duncan, like, limping up, like,
it's into like the end scene of every action flick where the guy is not there's really
like,
dead.
There's like one more guy coming, and then
and everyone's like, really?
Another one. But then this time, Bert, mm-hmm, the lion dog, right, lunges at Duncan, takes him down, and Duncan's just out cold. That's like what did him in. Nick and Riley were both shot during this.
Right.
Nick in the butt, and then Riley self-described as her muffin top. I know. So they're both kind of getting checked out in the ambulance before they go to the hospital, and a cop comes over. It might have been Detective Weber. Someone was like, we got word that somebody lit your office on fire, and right, it's gone. They were like, most likely arson by one of the dirty cops. Mm-hmm. But at this point, in this all this hazy,
he's just happy he's not dead.
And he's like, I think I want to marry Riley.
As he should.
As he should.
Oh,
she's
my
awesome.
Goodness.
They go to the hospital. She gets fixed up. He gets fixed up. And then Riley's dad picks her up, takes her home. And then Nick gets out of getting the bullet removed from his butt. Josie picks him up. They go make one quick little stop. And they knock on a door. And it's Griffin's house.
In this very, like, elaborate, like, just gaudy looking home.
Yeah. He's like, I could never imagine Riley living there. And they force their way in. They basically tell him, like, you're going to sign these papers that relieve Riley from paying you any more alimony, or we're going to release these pictures.
Right.
And it's him coming out of hotels with, like, prostitutes, right, and other women. At the same time, his fiance, Bella Goodshine, comes out and is like, hey, darling, like,
Bella Good Boobs.
Yeah. So he just quickly signs the papers, which is good news.
Right.
And they leave. And so then Nick goes over to Riley's apartment, basically to yell at her for confronting.
He's like, I'm going to yell at her first, and then I'm going to say, we're going to live together.
Yeah, so he comes in, he yells at her. He's like, also, we're dating now,
mm-hmm, you're
and
my
I'm
girlfriend.
Moving in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, okay, cool, I saved a taco for you. And, oh, and she quit her job, mm-hmm, because her job called and was like, hey, HR wants to know if you're being investigated for some ridiculous stuff. And she's like, you know what? Not worth it. I quit.
Right.
So Nick and Riley do agree to live together. And then she's like, oh, I also need a job now. And he's like, you could work for me.
Right.
Like, they're a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. And then they stumble into bed and have just, like, sweet but painful post getting shot at sex. So now we're at the epilogue, and it's a few weeks later. Mm-hmm. Nick surprises Riley by moving them in together and getting all new furniture, because he got his insurance check,
right,
from his office and apartment burning down.
Which I thought was really sweet, because she had nothing.
I know.
Yeah.
So when she gets there, she sees her whole apartment redone, and
right,
her whole family's there, and they're, mm-hmm, kind of celebrating and having a good time. And then there's a knock at the door, mm-hmm, and they're like, who is that? Mm-hmm. And it's grandmother.
It reminds me of the last scene in Mamma Mia 2.
I never saw that.
Oh, when Cher comes and she's the grandma. Never mind. Okay.
Okay.
You need to watch it. Okay.
So everyone's like, oh no. But then there's a second knock at the door, mm-hmm, and it's Detective Weber. And he's like, Nick, Riley, I need your help on a new case.
Right.
And that's the
Ooh.
End. One exciting thing that I saw is that Lucy Score just announced this is going to be a series.
Which is great.
So we have two more books of Riley and Nick, like, fighting crime together.
I love it.
It was so cute.
I love that they both ended up still staying at this retirement home.
Like, I
just think that's adorable.
I know. So what did you think? Overall thoughts?
This was probably one of the funniest books I've ever read.
It was so funny.
I loved, there were so many good one-liners that I was just constantly cracking up the entire time.
Yeah.
I just thought the writing was amazing. The writing was so amazing, the lack of sex didn't bother me too much. And that's saying a lot from me.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It was just so funny and creative. And
it was
cute. There were so many wild characters that were so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved all the nicknames that Nick had for Gabe.
Yeah. And I love how Mrs. Penny was just like this vigilante at 80, you know, like,
I know,
nothing's going to stop her. I love it.
And I just love the idea of them working together to hunt down a murderer.
I will say this. I don't know why, but I was hoping that the murderer was Mr. Willicott.
What?
Because he kept playing like, what's going on? Who the hell are you? And I was like, that would be a good front.
I just thought that Riley and Nick were so cute together. And I am looking forward to their future adventures.
I know. I really did like this book.
Yeah. Well, our next book is called Tools of Engagement by Tessa Bailey.
But I've never read anything by her. Have you?
No, I haven't. But I think this is the third in a series. I think they're standalone, though. But we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.